Nothing is more important than empathy for another human being's suffering. Nothing. No career, not wealth, not intelligence, certainly not status. We have to feel for one another if we're going to survive with dignity. Hey guys, welcome back to another season special of the Haunted Detective Podcast. I'm your favorite skeptic, Pamela J, and I know already what all of you guys are thinking. Our paranormal Sherlock Holmes, Kelsey Childs, won't be joining us today. She's been super sick, so if you can go over to her page and give her a virtual hug and any kind get well message, that would be super sweet, because for those of you who don't know, this episode is being recorded on her 26th birthday. So she's sick on her birthday, like, how shit is that? So if you don't mind going over and just saying a little happy birthday to our little Kelsey Childs. But today we have such an awesome treat for you. We have our friend Tyson from Tyson Unkempt. So he's over on TikTok and Instagram. And Tyson, thank you so much for jumping on here with me. I think we're going to have a great conversation.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So today we're diving just headfirst into a topic that's both bizarre and just downright disturbing, the strange fascination with serial killers. You know the drill. Those fucked up fan pages, the creepy ass artwork and tattoos, and even merch, like fan merch that turns these real life horrors into pop culture icons. But hold on, because behind the twisted intrigue that lies something much darker. We're talking about the real life impact on victims and their families. It's a side of the story that often gets drowned out by the sensationalism. So buckle up as we peel back the layers and talk about what it means for those who've actually suffered at the hands of these monsters. Let's get real about the glamorization of true crime and its not so glamorous consequences. So, Tyson, you've been on the internet for like kind of a hot minute. Have you ever, unfortunately, come across anything like a serial killer fan page or even seen a t-shirt or anything like that?
Fortunately, I was not aware that this was as much of an issue as it is, actually, until I came across your guys' content. And then that's when I started to realize how many, like, serial killer apologists and, like,
right?
I guess fetishizers, if that's a word. Yeah. Like, it's just really strange to see how prevalent that is. And so naturally, I started to go down those rabbit holes, and I'm like, people are making Jeffrey Dahmer t-shirts. Like, this isn't, like, what?
Like, it's like, so what are we doing?
Bizarre. I don't know. It's just, I can't fathom the mindset. I think a lot of it also has to do with, like, I don't want to get too far ahead if this is a point down the road.
No, go ahead.
But I think a lot of it has to do with, especially, like, Hollywood kind of taking very real monsters and kind of making them sexy and, like, making them likable. And it's all under the guise of, oh, like, we just want to see the face behind the killer. And it's like, it's strange to me that the emphasis is more on the killer and not the victims.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, I don't think that we deserve, or I don't necessarily think that we need to hear the killer side of things. They did what they did.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it when they had Zac Efron play Bundy. We saw it when Evan Peters played Dahmer. That one was massive. I don't know if you got to see those edits from when Evan played Dahmer in the series, but that was like intense. They tried to ask the victims. I believe the director like went online and talked about how, like, in an interview, he was like, yeah, I tried to like talk to the victims' families, but they just like wouldn't return my calls. I'm like, yeah, because you, what?
Right. Like, why would they want to return your calls?
You re-traumatized them.
Ugh. And they did shot for shot remakes of actual testimony. Like, I don't know. The whole thing I thought was gross.
Oh, totally. It was fucking weird as hell. And then it just made these people, not only were they romanticizing like the actor playing Dahmer, like, who cares if you're like, oh, Evan's hot, cool. Like, yeah, he's in so many other things. But if you're like, oh, Evan, while he was playing Dahmer, I found him really attractive. Bitch, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's what? Bizarre. I really think it's some kind of fetish that I just, you know, I'm teetering on, like, that's it, I'm kink shaming.
No, I am when it comes to this, because they technically have a name for it, and it's called hybristophilia.
Okay.
And, like, here's my thing. Is just because it has a name for itself, it doesn't mean that, like, it's okay. So for those of you who guys don't know, hybristophilia is a paraphilia that describes a person's sexual interest in and attraction to people who have committed crimes. So it can involve sexual... It involves sexual arousal or orgasm in response to being with a partner who has committed a crime such as cheating, lying, rape, murder, or armed robbery.
Yikes.
So they are like, I just have hybristophilia. I cannot help it. I'm like, why? What do you... Excuse me. Excuse me. You're saying that you have... hybristophilia, and that makes it totally okay that you're sexually turned on by a guy who raped kids. That's what you're telling me. And that murdered innocent women.
Yeah, and I don't know. Have they heard of role play? Maybe. I don't know what the solution could be.
Keep it in the bedroom. Yes. And keep it legal, bitch.
Yes.
Keep it legal. This is weird. So there are people who have made, I don't know how much money they've made exactly, but there's, if you go on Etsy, if you even just go on Google, there's random websites, but I've found a lot of them to be on Etsy. There's a big t-shirt that's going around that says, choke me like Bundy and eat me like Dahmer.
Absolutely not. Straight to jail.
Right? Who's wearing that?
I am looking up just the word serial killer on Etsy right now.
Yep.
And... oh, there's a serial killer guess who card game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and then I see Eileen Wuornos, Jeffrey Dahmer. Several people. They're a handbag. It's a photo collage.
Perfect.
I don't know. Like, what happened to just wearing like a Jason Voorhees mask t-shirt? Like, is that not enough?
Literally. Like, seriously.
Oh, I don't like this. I feel gross for looking this up.
There's Valentine's Day card, don't you? Because when I was making videos, right, I had to go on Etsy and look up this content because I wanted to see and get it photos. Because some people, they were like, this is not true. You're making this up. Because I would make videos that were like making fun of someone having this item. But I didn't have like video or a photograph proving that that's what I was seeing and referencing to. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to find it and I'm going to start posting about it. So then I started posting these, hi bitch, come with me to roast serial killer merch. And I would show pictures, and there was one that got a lot of attention, and it was a Richard Ramirez nightlight.
No.
Because who doesn't want the Night Stalker just as a nightlight, right?
Well, I'm looking at a Jeffrey Dahmer candle, and it says, sorry about the smell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, this is, this looks like a washcloth, and it says, or like a rag for the kitchen. I don't know. Oh, it's a flour sack.
Because I need a flour sack. Yeah. That's for killers. Absolutely, I need one.
I know. I was just thinking that the other day. And it says, if you can't beat them, eat them. And it has Jeffrey Dahmer's face.
That they use the same goddamn quote over and over and over again. And I remember I made one video and I was like, bitch, where's your fucking originality? if you're going to be gross, be original. Don't use the same fucking things over and over and over and over and over again, because not only are you gross and you have no fucking empathy for the victims and their families, but now you're showing me that you lack creativity. Pick a fucking struggle.
Right. And like, I don't know. I feel like there's just been such a weird, I don't want to call it like an evolution of interest in true crime, because it's definitely not all true crime. Not by a long shot, but like something about just how quickly true crime just really popped off a few years ago. It's always been around, but it just like exploded. There was just like a subset of people that took it the wrong way. On one hand, I can understand how somebody, especially somebody that might be interested in like criminology, can look at a serial killer and say, oh, well, you know, I think that this criminal is the most interesting for these reasons. Maybe it's because of, you know, a unique psychological process of theirs. But to take their crimes and then try to make it sexy or quirky or lovable, I don't understand. I think people have forgotten the way that they've taken true crime and turned it into entertainment. I think a lot of people have forgotten that these are real people. Like, these aren't celebrities. These are real people that really did ruin countless people's lives and end countless people's lives.
Right.
Ugh. Icky.
We see it with it, not even just our run-of-the-mill of, like, more well-known killers like Bundy, Ramirez, Dahmer, Gacy. We also see this with the Columbine shooters. We see this with the Sandy Hook shooter. We even saw it with the Parkland shooter. Oh, absolutely. We saw it with Chris Watts. He gets fan mail. The Parkland shooter gets fan mail. It's fucking gross. And they do it because they think it's so edgy and it's quirky and it's so like, oh, I can fix him. Like, we're seeing it right now with that horrible man, Wade Wilson, who took the lives of those two innocent women, which I know Kelsey and I are going to do an in-depth conversation about that later in the future. But I mean, we're still seeing it to this day. Like, nothing is changing, and it baffles me. So, obviously, we know that this is a huge issue, and it's becoming, I don't know if it's getting worse, I don't know if it's staying the same, but I know we've also seen this in the paranormal side of things, in the paranormal community, and I wanted to know if you have seen anything in your experience, because you do ghost hunting, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So have you ever seen anything that's like unethical in paranormal, ghost hunting, or anything in your community?
So as far as the groups and the people that I have been involved with, it is a very, it's a very respectful environment. Of course, we, you know, play off each other's energy and like to just, you know, keep each other entertained and relaxed, but in no way are we like disrespecting our surroundings or disrespecting the memory of somebody that we could be trying to track down who is not physically with us. And there are so many ghost shows and, primarily ghost hunting TV shows that have turned very real tragic stories into caricatures, and they've just turned it into just something really disrespectful. Whether you believe in spirits or not, I couldn't imagine walking up to somebody's tombstone that lived a tragic life and had a tragic death and then essentially like spitting on it. It's awful. And then like they're doing the same thing by going into an allegedly haunted house and like, oh, this place is haunted because an entire family was murdered here. And then they're standing in the hallway of this house being like, talk to us, you stupid fucking ghosts. Like,
yeah, even like egging them on.
Yes. And like, even I'm a skeptic. And
same.
And like, even though I don't necessarily believe, like I want to believe, side note, but
same. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We just became best friends.
Sweet. I definitely want to believe in this stuff. I just like, I have to have good proof.
Same.
And I haven't seen it or had it yet, but I don't know. It's a fine line because on one hand, like, is ghost hunting entertainment? Yes. But is it also a curious mind, like, tr- trying to explore other possibilities from a place of like genuine curiosity and potentially innocence. Like, yes, it's both of those things. Like, it's just about maintaining a balance of the two. Yeah, that was my spiel.
No, I love it. And it made me remember when, I think it was when Gabby Petito's case was like really amping up, and also when the Idaho killings surfaced. That was so brutal of these people who had like these makeshift fucking theater ass looking spirit boxes that were like neon and glowing, and they were like talking to it, what they said was a spirit, and like it was a woman's voice, and it was like, oh, this is Gabby Petito, and she's telling me exactly where she's buried, and the Idaho victims are telling me exactly who did it, and they're speaking to me, and it's these like crystal clear EVPs of basically sounds like you and me talking right now, and it's like, yes, I'm running, I'm hiding, I can't find him, and I'm just like, bitch.
At best, an EVP is auditory pareidolia. And
yeah,
for anyone that doesn't know, pareidolia is essentially the human's mind to make something out of nothing.
It's to recognize
patterns and associate with them with things that sound like things we already know. Like maybe there is like a in the air, and you're going to interpret that as some spirit of a raspy old man saying hi. I don't know.
Right.
But what you just described is so blatantly disrespectful. Like, it's not even, and that's the kind of stuff that gives the paranormal community a bad name, because I feel like there are ethical ways that you can research these things and express interest in these things without taking somebody's tragedy and turning it into a mockery. That is something that made me think of was, if you remember the very famous psychic medium, Sylvia Brown. And for anyone that doesn't know, she was this very, very famous person that claimed to have all of these gifts and insight into the other world, and she would appear on this very popular talk show, daytime talk show called the Montel Williams Show, and I think it just became like she was popping up here and there, and then it was like every week, like she was on the show. Well, I think about 2010-ish, it came to light that there was a man in Cleveland, Ohio, that had three women held captive in his home for a very, very long extended period of time. They became like, I think that they became known as like the Cleveland Trio or something like that. But
yeah. It was so awful when that came out. It was like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Like the neighbors of this man, his name is Ariel Castro. I mean, they were all floored. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe he would do this. Like, we've been to his house for barbecues and we never knew these women were there. And they were like tortured, beaten, essayed. One of them even fathered one of his children. It was awful. Yeah. It was awful. Well, one of the girl's mothers went on the Montel Williams show and she looked at Sylvia and she said, you know, where's my baby girl? Can you give me any insight? And Sylvia told her, oh, she's dead. To her face, told this woman in national television, your baby girl is dead. And for somebody, and whether her, I forget which girl it was, whether that girl's mother truly believed in this stuff, or if she just reached a point where she was desperate enough to consider this a possibility for answers.
Yeah.
She shattered her world in that moment. I can't imagine the psychological distress of that. It was awful. No. And there was another boy, and bear with me for just one second, because this is not Sylvia's first rodeo doing this.
That's insane. I didn't even know about any of this.
Oh yeah. I had a whole TikTok video about it, and I had Sylvia Brown sympathizers being like, oh, what's your problem with psychics? I'm like,
I don't have a problem with real ones.
I know. I'm like, actual psychics?
Yeah.
Or like ones that are like kind of doing it in a way that's not potentially destroying somebody's hope.
Right. That's like a fucking horrible thing. Like, oh, she's dead.
I know. Like, just.
And then she's not.
Ugh. So what is this boy's name? Sean?
Oh, it was Amanda Berry.
Okay.
The girl was.
Okay. I thought it might have been Amanda, but I didn't want to like.
No, I understand.
Say, okay. So also, this was in the mid-2000s. Sylvia Brown also ruined another family's search for their missing child. So there was this missing boy named Sean Hornbeck. And basically, I'm trying to like skim this article. Oh, okay. This was also on the Montel Williams Show. They went on to the Montel Williams Show where Sylvia plopped herself down for, you know, eyes all over the country to see. Mm-hmm. And she told this family essentially the wrong information about where he might be located. And at this point, like, of course, they're desperate. They're going on national television to ask a psychic. You know, I have unfortunately been familiar with, like, and followed several missing persons cases, like, as they develop. And, like, rarely do people, you know, make this move. I feel like it is a move of either true belief or sheer desperation. And, you know, there's no right or wrong way to look for answers or grieve. So, you know,
absolutely,
these people are just genuinely just searching for some kind of truth, some kind of shred of hope. But this missing boy, Sean, when the step-parents asked Sylvia, you know, where is he? She was giving them the wrong directions. And she was also telling them, again, that he was, quote, near the boulders, and he was no longer with them.
Wow. What a claim.
And turns out he was in the opposite direction, essentially, of where she told them to start looking, which delayed the search for Sean for by a while. And I don't know if that was the direct or the only reason why the search was redirected, but that was a major reason, or a reason at least. But the real plot twist here, Sean was also alive.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. And it goes into like psychics, mediums, kind of like infiltrating, well, maybe not infiltrating is the right word. It all goes back to psychics and mediums kind of like intertwining with true crime. But I mean,
yes.
There are also cases where just Hollywood's glamorization of certain stories, certain paranormal stories, really are not, one, accurate. And I understand that they have to kind of like fluff things up for entertainment. It's a movie. You want to make it flashy. But to just downright get facts wrong, like, and kind of drag actual characters
through the mud.
Yes. I see this a lot with a lot of the paranormal like movies and stuff that are, oh, based on a true story, but like they take a shred of the true story and then like either really greatly exaggerate how like much the people in those stories had to do with those stories, or they villainize characters that are based on real people that are given the same freaking names.
Oh my God, Bathsheba?
Yes.
From the Conjuring universe?
Bathsheba Sherman. There's like next to no, if not any evidence that she did anything wrong.
Yes, I had no idea because I was like, from an entertainment standpoint, I loved The Conjuring. I thought it was like done well. I thought it was directed great. But then when I dug like really deep into like, oh, I was like, oh my God, Bathsheba must have been a horrible person. I'm like, this is crazy. And then I found out, I'm like, what? Like, no, she wasn't. She's chill. Like, and her poor grave got like wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, and you know damn well that the only reason they went with Bathsheba was because she had a name that sounded sinister. If her name was like,
it did.
If it was Ruth, I guarantee you.
Yeah, this is Gertrude.
Yeah, like this is sweet Mamaw Grace. Like the same thing would not have happened. But like you name somebody like Cruella De Vil, like people are gonna say like, oh, like she must have been awful.
Yes, like this is an evil bitch name. Like this is perfect. And Bathsheba, I liked that name. I mean, it does sound sinister, but like how badass is Bathsheba?
I know. It's one of those like names that I like low key would like I wish would make a comeback because I love strong classic names like that.
Yes.
It's a biblical name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a name of Hebrew origin meaning daughter of the oath. Which that's kind of ominous.
Wow. That is ominous.
I like God. It.
Yeah, I was like, I love that name. But this is like, it's something we see so fucking much. And it's so frustrating because they glamorize all these just horrible people. They have them played by either super attractive people or like what you brought up, which is a great point. They take someone who is totally innocent, throw them into this universe and make them out to be evil. And then their real life graves get defiled and like broken. And then the families, I don't know who Bathsheba Sherman was related to, like what her descendants ended up, like what their names ended up being. But like, what if that was your like great, great, great grandmother or something? And these random ass people from Hollywood make a movie that make her out to be this like murderous villain. And like the fuck, like, I don't know how I would comprehend like any of that. I'm like, bitch, you took my great, 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 great grandma and made her into this like demon for views.
And like, as it pertains to the Conjuring film universe, like as a whole, it can all be tied back to an alleged quote from Ed Warren himself telling their ghostwriter to essentially take a story where little to nothing happened and then just, you know, fluff it up, make it scary. He literally told, allegedly told this ghostwriter, just make it scary.
Wow. Like, just do whatever you need to do.
Right. Yeah. It's all for profit. Ew. Are we going to loop back to how capitalism is the root of all evil? Because.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Because I know damn well people would not be making this kind of Etsy stuff if
there wasn't a market for
if they had to give it away for free.
Uh-huh. It's true. And it's annoying.
Yeah. And people wouldn't be making these movies with false information if there was not a theater audience. Oh God, it's all about money.
Oh my God. It's almost like we really don't give a fuck about any of these people. We just want money. Money, 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 money. And I mean, that was... Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. My
We're
bad.
Just so fucking passionate right now, guys.
Yeah, like, and you know damn well the only reason they brought Sylvia Brown back on was because people wanted to watch the next crazy thing that came out of her mouth. And then, like, the ad placements that came with that. Money.
Yeah.
All money.
Money. We love money. It is so fucking crazy. And the fact that we just are going to keep seeing it over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, how many times have you heard? Now, just to circle back, there are some really great documentaries that like Hulu has released, or I think Netflix has some, where the victims' families are like the main focus and they wanted to talk about it and they're on like sharing their story and doing all that. That's great.
Yeah.
Like giving them a voice and letting them like talk about everything, giving their loved one like a platform that can no longer speak for themselves. Like that's beautiful. That's great. That's what it's about. It's about raising and amplifying voices that no longer cannot be heard. And so when you get to this weird fucking like area where it's like, ooh, let's have the hottest fucking people that we can find, have him play like a brutal rapist and serial killer, and then just see what happens. Oh, and then also we're going to get some information super wrong and we're probably going to piss off the victims and their families, but like who cares? Cause we're going to make like $500 million from it. So like, it's fine. Cause y'all don't give a fuck until it's you or your family.
Do you think there are any adaptations of actual, like any film or like Hollywood adaptations that kind of did the reenacting correctly in a respectful way? So personally, you know, feel like anyone can feel free to disagree, you know, different strokes for different blokes. I was not a fan of the Jeffrey Dahmer TV show. I thought it was, I felt gross watching it. I didn't even finish it, honestly.
I never started.
Yeah. The only reason I kind of started was because like, I like started to like watch like clips of it, like in passing with my roommate at the time. And then like I sat down for a little bit of it and I was like, how can you watch this?
it was way too much. From what I heard, it was like some of my friends, like actually their stomach got like they got sick.
Yeah. It's awful. But do you think that there are any adaptations that you've seen that tackled the subject matter in a more respectful way? Or do you think there is a way to do that?
Honestly, if it is, I guess the way to do it, in my opinion, would be one, make sure that the families are involved in some way, shape, or form. Make sure that they're either able to okay it, like approve it, that they're okay with having their story and their loved one's story like put out there for the world to see. Because let's be real, no matter what you put up there, everyone's going to judge it. Some people are going to understand, some people aren't, and some people are just going to feel like they need to put their fucking two cents in when it's just not needed. But yeah, so approval, absolutely, that's needed. Two, if you can't get the family's approval in the sense that there's just no one to ask, because sometimes a case is like so old that there's an inability to really get that approval and get that go ahead okay, it would be one, make sure your information is fucking correct. Like, make sure it's right. Make sure that it's not like fucking fluffed up to the absolute gods to the point where you mess up and make it look like a victim is like your victim blaming or anything of that sort, just because you want the story to be a certain way. Like, that's just not how it is, especially if you're dealing with a real case. It's not a case that like you made up, because if it's a fiction, no one gets, like, that was another thing. People are like, oh my God, we can't have any fun, Pamela J. Like, you're just, bitch, take a fiction one.
Yeah.
Fucking get Matthew Lillard up in this bitch. What, like,
what happened to fiction? Like, I don't understand. Like,
there's so many.
Like, I understand, like, true crime can be something that anyone can be interested in, and it's totally fine to be interested in true crime. But, like, there's there's a difference between being interested in that and then exploiting that.
Yeah. Like, that, I guess that would be my thing, is if get permission, and if you can't, be fucking respectful. Like, that's it. Get your shit straight. Get your facts right. It's that easy.
A case that has been completely bastardized and fictionalized is the case of Charles Walton, who was found dead Valentine's Day, 1945, outside of Warwickshire, England. He was this older guy, just a very simple farmer. Like, it ain't much. It's honest work kind of guy. But he was found to be brutally murdered. And he he left home with a pitchfork and a slash hook. And let's see, whoever the murderer was, they had beaten Charles like over the head with his own stick. They cut his neck open with the slash hook. They were stabbing him with the pitchfork. It was horrendous. It was awful.
Oh my God.
Like, this poor man was just obliterated in the most violent way possible. And in a nutshell, they had a lead, but there was like, they couldn't really concretely say it was this person. So ultimately it was quote unquote unsolved, even though they kind of had evidence. They had a case going, but it wasn't good enough. So it was like one of those cases, which unfortunately happens. Based on the nature of his murder, it tied back into traditional beliefs of witchcraft. The manner in which he was executed tied into beliefs about local witchcraft to the point where it was just full blown, like, oh, there was a pentagram like carved into his chest or his head or something, like things that did not happen. Things that turned it into basically a Hollywood movie without officially being adapted into film that I'm aware of. And as I was researching that story, I thought it was an interesting story. And I usually took a skeptical approach. And I was like, oh, like, I'm going to figure out, like, you know, X, Y, and Z are not true, but A, B, and C are true, you know.
Like, just kind of take it apart.
Right.
Take it apart.
But even major publications, like sites that are very popular, especially in, like, the UK, were taking the story of Charles Walton and reiterating the same bullshit. To the point where when I was researching his murder, I actually started to doubt that he was even a real person.
Yeah.
And he was. But the manner in which he died, people were more concerned about how it tied into local witchcraft instead of thinking, oh, this was a farming community. He left home with a pitchfork. Like, it makes sense. He might have been killed with his own pitchfork. But no, it was It was all about, nope, the only way to kill a witch permanently is to stab them with a pitchfork. Never heard that before. There are even like legends of,
yeah, what
like,
the fuck?
I know. That must be a very regional or cultural thing that I've never heard of. But
right.
Yeah, and there were like reports of like phantom black dogs, because this is a paranormal UK case. Of course, there were paranormal black dogs. Just the whole nine yards. And then it got to the point where Charles Walton kind of got the Bathsheba Sherman treatment. Yeah.
That's and so fucked up.
I can say, though, just briefly glancing at his Wikipedia page, this has expanded since I saw it last. So I will have to dig back into this. Yeah, because apparently,
oh my God.
When I was researching it last, there were like, it was maybe a one page of results. Like if I printed this off, it'd probably be like five or six. So,
wow. We'll have to dig into that. Oh my God.
Future idea for an episode.
Yeah, seriously. We're going to have to dig into that. And that's the thing, is there's so fucking many of these cases that we can talk about where they were just taken apart, cherry picked, and then made into a film, or that people were just like fucking with the details to make it more fascinating. And then we have the sickos that are out there being like, I'm in love. I love that he just like totally killed that person and like had no remorse like at all. That was like so cute. But these are all real people. Like that's the thing, is that the more we talk about it and the more we're like talking about Bathsheba and all the like insane cases that you just brought up. I mean, it's in some I haven't even heard of. So it's like, it's fucking wild. And like, just a reminder for everybody out there, like consuming these movies, consuming true crime, consuming false information when it comes to even just like Bathsheba. These are real people behind these names. These are real people whose stories are being jacked up. And remember, the Dahmer series, the Bundy series, the Gacy series that I heard is supposed to be making its way out. Their families, they're not really fucking with this shit, guys. And like, to be honest, why would you tell them that we deserve to hear a not so truthful version of what happened to their loved one? Like, make it make sense. This is just not okay. So, I mean, like, fuck. Like, fuck. It's so deep, it's so dark, and it's just tragic.
And here's the thing, going back to whatever happened to fiction, if a true crime case inspires somebody, like, it's okay if that inspiration inspires you to write something fictional. You don't even have to say inspired by a true story. I know that's a selling point.
Yeah.
But like there you can be inspired by something without exploiting a very real trauma.
Right.
Yeah. There are a bajillion of ways to do that, and so many people are taking the wrong avenue.
Yes, absolutely. And so like as we wrap up today's episode, it's clear that the fascination with serial killers is way more than just a passing trend. It's a cultural phenomenon with real implications. And we've explored the murky waters of fan culture, merchandise, and the uncomfortable truths about the impact on families and the victims. So remember, behind every sensationalized story is a human tragedy. It's crucial to approach these topics with sensitivity and awareness of the real life consequences. And we really hope that today's discussion has sparked reflection and encouraged a deeper understanding of maybe why we're drawn to these dark tales and also the responsibilities that come with discussing them. So, Tyson, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me about this topic. It's been so just awesome just having this conversation with you. So would you mind telling everybody like where they can find you?
So yeah, once again, my name is Tyson Kemp. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Tyson Unkempt. I talk about historic true crime, creepy things from the past, and I even share some of my own short horror fiction.
and we love it. So everybody, please go over to his page and give him some love because he totally deserves it. He's an awesome human. And thank you so much for coming on. So for everyone listening, please remember to give us 5 stars or wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a kind review. We post Mondays at midnight, and join us next time as we continue to explore the complexities of our shared fascination with the dark sides of humanity. And until then, stay curious, stay compassionate, and take care of each other. We love you. Bye.
Bye.